हरे। जय ओम विष्णु परमहंसा परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरव। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text 41. The translation has more lines than the purport, and it's in prose. So, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Supreme Protector, O Grandfather, O Supreme Pure Lord, we are all surrendered souls at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. Now please manifest your incarnation, accepting us as your own eternal servants and devotees. Please be pleased with us and sympathetic towards us. Your love-filled glance with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Vritrasura, who always pains the cores of our hearts. Purport. Lord Brahma is considered the father of the demigods, but Krishna or Lord Vishnu is the father of Brahma, because Brahma took birth from the lotus flower growing from the Lord's abdomen. Next verse. O Lord, as the small sparks of fire cannot possibly perform the actions of the whole fire, we sparks of your Lordship cannot inform you of the necessities of our lives. You are the complete whole. Therefore, of what do we need to inform you? You know everything because you are the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, the maintainer, and the annihilator of the entire universal creation. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation, and also beyond them. You exist internally as Parabrahman and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifested in various stages, at different times and places, and in various bodies, you, the personality of Godhead, are the original cause of all causes. Indeed, you are the original element. You are the witness of all activities. But because you are as great as the sky, you are never touched by any of them. You are the witness of everything as Parabrahman and Paramatma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is unknown to you. Purport. The absolute truth exists in three phases of spiritual understanding: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman, the impersonal absolute truth, is all-pervading, and Paramatma is locally situated in everyone's heart. But Bhagavan, who is worshipable by the devotees, is the original cause of all causes. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of a devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the absolute truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their distress in being attacked by Vritrasura, the demigods apologized for offering prayers for their safety. A neophyte devotee, of course, approaches the Supreme Lord for relief from distress or poverty, of a speculative knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 7:16 mentions four kinds of pious men who begin devotional service to the Lord. One who is distressed, Artha. One who is in need of money, Artharthi. One who is inquisitive, Jignasu. And one who is searching for the absolute truth, Jnani. A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship Him for one's personal benefit. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything. The Lord is present everywhere and knows the necessities of His devotees. Consequently, there is no need to disturb Him by asking Him for material benefits. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Whoa. I will digress a little bit, not in the content of the purports, but in the, I guess, in the mood of the festival today. The demigods, their prayers are prayers in mixed devotion. Mixed devotion means, naturally, it means not pure devotion. It is mixed with something else. It is mixed with material desire. And the material desire is such that it makes a person feel that the material benefit or material outcome, if not more important, is as important as the spiritual benefit. Or in other words, for a person who has not been able to completely appreciate Krishna, for the sake of relationship with Him only, there is something else from Krishna that they expect, something material. Like Karma Yoga. In Karma Yoga, the object may be clear, Lord Vishnu, but the objective is not clear. The objective is service, but people approach Lord Vishnu for some material goods, for some material benefit, subtle or gross. Mostly gross, but subtle sometimes. Like people pray to Vishnu, please may I have peace of mind. And they feel that I'm not asking for anything bad like money or, name or fame. I'm just asking for peace of mind. But peace of mind is also material. So, mixed devotional service, there are different ways, there are different mixtures. One is called Jnana Mishra, another is Karma Mishra or Yoga Mishra. Karma Mishra means it's mixed with fruitive mentality. Like in this case, they're praying for their safety. They're offering very exalted prayers, no doubt. But it is mixed with the need for safety. They want to be protected. For them, they're valuing their existence, the preservation of their own life, as more important or as very, very significantly important than offering unconditional devotional service. In Jnana Mishra, one approaches the Lord to get knowledge, to get a different or different realizations about the truth. And in Yoga Mishra, they approach the Lord for some yogic siddhi, some perfection. And beyond all of these, Mishra Bhakti is Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is learnt by associating with and by serving a Shuddha Bhakta. Shuddha Bhakta Charana Reno Bhajana Anukula. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Shuddha Bhakta Charana Renu means the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee is necessary, says Bhajana Anukula, is favorable for cultivating pure devotional service. So, our goal of Krishna consciousness, in fact, even from sadhana bhakti stage, we are asked to develop that pure devotional service. We're supposed to practice it. We're not expected to be perfect at it. We can't. We're expected to at least attempt. So our perfection is in endeavoring for the perfection. Our perfection is in our endeavor to be perfect. And we do find ourselves falling severely short, and that's all right. We're trying. And that's what Krishna wants to see. Are we trying? Of course, the highest stage of unconditional pure love is described in the 8th verse of Sikshashtaka. Aslisyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yathatathava vidadhatu lampato mat prananathas tusa evanaparaha. That Krishna can deal with us. It is Lord Chaitanya speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That Krishna, you're completely free and independent to do and behave as you like with me. Sometimes you may give me special attention, or sometimes you may completely neglect me. Not only neglect me, you can even do things that are very hurtful and that can break my heart. But as far as I am concerned, I am completely sold out to you. I do not know of any other master. Mat prananatha. Prananatha means the master of my life. That without you, there is no meaning in living. There is no meaning in existing. And you can behave any way you like. Generally, relationships tend to be conditional. You do this way, and therefore I can respond in a way back this way. But unconditional devotional service is that Krishna is completely freed of any fetters of our expectations. Of course, he's not bound by them anyway. But we feel somehow that Krishna is bound by our expectations, or we try to bind him. So right from the beginning, if we try to cultivate our Krishna consciousness in such a way that we free Krishna of any expectations, or more appropriate would be, we free ourselves of any expectations from Krishna, then in general, we can find that we will not be too disturbed. Although it's sometimes it will hurt us, that Krishna may respond in a particular way, he may correct us in a particular way, he may not give us the mercy that we are looking for, we don't know how what mercy looks like, etc. So it's very important that from the beginning we understand that Krishna consciousness is all about anya avilashita shunya. All other materialistic desires to be reduced to zero. Well, that's tough. Yes, it's tough. So the way it becomes easier, not easy, easier, is by the mercy of the spiritual master and mercy of Srimati Radharani. Because she has that. In fact, she is the embodiment of such unconditional love. And it is that unconditional love that Krishna wants to demonstrate to us. Because Srimati Radharani is such an esoteric personality that she's not much talked about. But to know what happens inside her, or what her contemplations are, what her feelings are, has to be shared with the world. This is Krishna's way of appreciating her. So he appears as Lord Chaitanya. So we can read about Lord Chaitanya. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's descriptions of how Lord Chaitanya would feel. I've been hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita narrations. And in the Gambira Lord Chaitanya, it's described, if you read that section, oh, very intense. He would be inside the Gambira room, and from every pore of his body, blood would ooze. He would grind his forehead and chin to the ground. His limbs would, every joint would separate by 6 to 7 inches. Or they would all merge, in one sense, into a lump. His head, his arms and legs would all merge into one lump. These were all ecstatic symptoms. Now, we don't know what that means. Our ecstasy is when we have to break fast. This is different ecstasy. This is ecstasy in separation. And the whole day he would be crying pitiably in the deepest sense of humility. Generally, when we use the word dainya, we translate that as humility. Dainya is not humility. Dainya is the uttermost sense of humility. So it's like the most intense feelings of humility. That's called dainya. So Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, gave us a little peek into how she feels, how Srimati Radharani feels for Krishna. So here, the demigods, they're praying, although they're mixed, there is few words here. He says, we are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. And he says, now please manifest your incarnation. Accepting us as your eternal servants and devotees, be pleased with us and sympathetic towards us. By your love-filled glance, with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Vritrasura. So they're bound by chains of love, but they're attention is on Vritrasura, who's bothering them. When we say love, most of us, a conditioned soul, doesn't understand what that word really means. This love is something that Krishna carries for all of us. And even if we are in whatever species of life, however antagonistic with Krishna, his love for us still remains. He demonstrates to us what unconditional love is, although we have no idea of recognizing it, we don't feel it, we don't even know it. But from his side, it is still there. So in one sense, Krishna has no expectations from us. That love of his is embodied as Srimati Radharani. So just as she has love for him, her love for her is manifest as love for us. And that she demonstrates by engaging us in devotional service. So to get an opportunity to serve Krishna is the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Because there is no other way to attract Krishna. There is no other way. Prahlad Maharaja says, Manye, Dhana, Abhijana, Rupa, Shuta, Tapa, Teja, Oja, Bhala, Paurusha, Buddhi Yoga. He gives a whole list of things which are material qualifications. And he says, I don't think these are attracting to the Lord, because he has all of these in unlimited quantities. We may also have in a lot of quantity, but it's temporary. From one life to another life, we lose those opulences. But Krishna has all of these opulences eternally existing with him. So why would he be attracted? Yes, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was saying on Sunday, Krishna is Atma Rama. He said, we are Samosa Rama. Our whole sense of happiness comes from looking at prasadam. Krishna is Atma Rama. He is nothing external to himself that he is attracted by or attracted to. So the only thing that attracts him is love or pure devotional service. And Srimati Radharani gives us that opportunity. In fact, even when we cannot offer pure devotional service, she accepts it. And from her hand, or through her, Krishna accepts it. Otherwise, there's no access to Krishna. Unless Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani, unless she didn't manifest, we would have no access to Krishna. This is Krishna's way of reaching out to us. She's the loving potency. Yeah, she's called Ladini Shakti. Shakti means that potency that attracts. And Ladini, Lada means to be happy and joyful and loving. Or lovable, actually. So she's the one who engages us in devotional service, and she's the one who gives all these varieties of services. And part of devotional service is being attentive, alert, and seeking. Unless we are seeking to serve Krishna, we don't get full benefit of what we do. That seeking is developed systematically through Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. Therefore we are asked to chant our rounds, study Prabhupada's books, do some services, interact with the devotees, take association with senior devotees. We hear from them and serve them with peers. We share inspirations with the younger devotees. We also extend opportunities for service. We train and coach and help. These are all ways by which we cultivate that seeking for serving Krishna, seeking for pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, there's no need to doing it. If that means we just have to engage our time, there are different ways by which we can engage our time. Prior to being devotees, we were engaged by time nicely. We didn't even know. Right? No one noticed how so many years have passed. Only after coming to Krishna consciousness do we get the semblance that time is very important. Some of us may have better sense of time being very important even without practicing devotional service. But what is time being used for? Not so important activities. Or at the best, eating, sleeping, mating and defending activities. So the idea of the value of time comes from Srimati Radharani in that sense, because for her every moment is valuable of how she is serving Krishna. So a moment utilized in Krishna's service is very valuable. And a moment lost is also very, very valuable that we cannot regain again. So it's important to appreciate what we have today by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And in Srila Prabhupada's childhood, lot of saintly persons would visit his house, his father's house. And Gaur Mohan Day had only one blessing to ask from all the saintly persons who came to their house, was, you please bless my son to become a nice servant of Srimati Radharani. That was his only request. And because he received those blessings, this nice devotee of Srimati Radharani has created for all of us varieties of engagements and the whole process by which we can assist him in that service. So our access to Radharani is through our founder Acharya and our Guru Parampara. Because that's what everyone is doing, engaged in assisting Srimati Radharani serve Kishore. So our development of love is important. This love is developed from very small segments of duty. Being dutiful in our service, in our services, is the beginning of, is the seed for love to generate. Because we come with a vacant heart. Vacant because it is vacant in the sense of selfless love. It is filled with other things, no doubt. It is filled with many, many things, many unwanted things. They're called anarthas, insecurities, materialistic desires, aspirations, expectations, etc. This is what our heart is filled with, and it's vacant in the department of love or selfless love. So by chanting Hare Krishna, all those unwanted things are moved aside and the space is made for pure love. This is why we chant. And we serve the Vaishnavas to fill it with what love looks like. Love is not some hazy idea, sit in a corner and that's about love. That's why Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. That love is practically demonstrated. It is not some sentiment only. It is practically demonstrated. And how to demonstrate it is shown by the Acharya. Acharya means one who, we usually say one who shows by example. Acharana means behavior. And Acharya is one who shows by behavior. So we see how Prabhupada showed us how to serve Krishna in all circumstances of life and in all different ways. So success of life is described when we can do these things. Etavad janma safalyam. Safalya, phala means fruit. Safala means with fruit. In Sanskrit, success is called safala. Safalya means with success or successful. Etavad janma safalya. That the success of life or a successful life means pranir arthair dhyavachah. That one utilizes one's life, one's wealth, artha, dhya, one's intelligence, and vachah, one's words. Shreya acharanam sada. Shreya acharana, of course, shreya means ultimate benefit or ultimate welfare. But quite literally, or the verse that's quoted in the 10th canto, is shreya acharana means glorious activities. Other than serving Krishna, there cannot be any other glorious activities. All other activities done without a mode of service for Krishna, even if it is very successful in the material world, is considered to be a waste. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's useless expenditure of labor. But something very simple can be very devotional. In 1969, when the whole of America was glued to their TV because Neil Armstrong was about to step on the moon, so-called, Srila Prabhupada was also watching that moon landing with his devotees. And Mother Malati had made a bowl of khichdi. And Prabhupada's comment was, so look at them. They have spent billions of dollars in all of this technology and so-called flying to the moon and all of that. For what? How is it beneficial to anyone? No. In fact, Malati has done more service by cooking one bowl of khichdi. She has done more benefit to for herself and others by that little khichdi than going to the moon for all of this so-called research. Because it's not beneficial to anyone. So Shreya Acharana means those things that are in relation to serving Krishna. If that can be done in our 24 hours of a day, that can be done. And we learn, we practice to do so. We practice to be conscious of Krishna. We do many things, no doubt. But are we conscious of Krishna is the question. Sometimes we are, most of the times we are not. To be more and more conscious of Krishna is why we are in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this Shreya Acharana is done by giving one's life, prana, because that is the most valuable thing. People will give money, but they can't give their life. People can even give up their lives, but they cannot give their lives to Krishna. It's something very valuable, self-preservation, like in this case. This pastime is going to continue into something very dramatic. Lord Vishnu will appear and will tell them, all right, you go to Sage Dadichi. Sage Dadichi is meditating there. You ask him to give up his body, and from his bones you can create a weapon that will kill Vritrasura. And the demigods do come and ask Sage Dadichi, can you stop breathing and give up your life, please? Because Lord Vishnu said so. Can you imagine that? If someone asks us, can you please give up your life? If someone asks, can you give us, you know, so many hours of your day? We're like, what? Forget about giving life, right? Can you do something? What? No, no, no. Here Sage Dadichi says, give up your life. And in he's this beautiful conversation between the two, and he says to Indra, look at you. For your own self-preservation, you have no problem asking me to give up my life. Anyway, I'm not attached to this body in the service of Vishnu. I'll give it up. Finished. He left his body. This is just one example. Of course, we're not asked by Krishna to give up our lives. We're asked by Krishna to give our lives. So prana, artha, if someone finds it difficult to give one's life, artha, one's wealth. Artha has multiple meanings. Directly it means wealth. Because Prabhupada says, how much wealth does a person need beyond satisfying their hunger, a place to stay, something to wear? That's about it. And something is set aside, according to Rupa Goswami, a little money set aside for emergencies. That's it. Then whatever is there must be offered to Krishna. It must be offered so that the person doesn't feel that they are the creators of their wealth. Or they don't feel that the wealth is for my protection in the future. That's what it does to a person. It makes one think, oh, I'm having money, my future is all right. Future is always risky. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. There's always danger at every step. The only security or insurance is that Krishna will be there for us if we cultivate our relationship with Krishna. Otherwise also he's there. He comes differently. Dhiya, by using our intelligence. The dhiya, the material intelligence, is always utilized in how to make our life more comfortable in the material world. But when it is used in Krishna's service, it is for how to make Krishna more comfortable in all circumstances. This is dhiya. And vacha, using words. Of course, this is the easiest one. Most people just say things. But it means to say from the heart. Not flattery or some loose words, but genuinely from the heart to appreciate Krishna. Appreciate the devotees, their service, their sacrifices, their commitment, etc. It must come from here. These are vacha. Minimally that must be there, if we cannot do anything else. But ideally for a devotee, all must be there. Should use their life, their wealth. Wealth, artha has different meanings. Of course, one is wealth. Another is wealth in the form of skills and gifts. Someone may write well, someone may dress well, someone may decorate well, someone may sing well, all of that. Those are all arthas also. They must be utilized for Krishna's service. Dhyā, using our intelligence, how to serve Krishna. Generally, intelligence department is like on a low. The intelligence is necessary. Dhyā, intelligence also means contemplation, not just intelligence. We contemplate on how to serve Krishna. We contemplate on what is required. Generally our contemplation sometimes, first is not there. When it is there, it is very confined to our area of service. It's not how our service impacts others. Or how our not doing something impacts others. Generally that's not so much there. That's something we have to cultivate. It's something that we practice, we try and use it consciously. So we come from backgrounds where perhaps we don't have that, being contemplative about others or even our own self. Then what to do? What to do is start somewhere. It's all right, even if you make mistakes, start somewhere. Somewhere contemplating that how we are a part of a bigger unit. And that bigger unit, we have a very important place, significant place, but we are part of a bigger unit. And what we do or don't do impacts the rest of the unit. Start there. Try something and see how it goes. What happens is when we at least try something, then Krishna is very pleased by it. And he will send us resources to help us develop that further. So we may get some feedback, not like this, like that. Right? Wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't we want feedback for our service? Would we rather be in some ivory tower thinking, wow, whatever I'm doing is wonderful? We don't even know if it is pleasing to Krishna. But if Krishna were to somehow indicate, no, no, not like this, like that, then that would be nice. We'd be happy. Oh, Krishna's paying attention. Krishna's very kind. He wants me to develop my service better. I'm very grateful that someone told me this is okay, this is not okay. That's nice. That is how Krishna starts encouraging us to develop that further. Or we're given some responsibility. That responsibility is not just that particular service that needs to be done. It also has tentacles, how it affects others. So that dhyaya part starts developing. It's very important. Because without dhyaya, we don't know how else to do other things. Suppose someone says, give your life to Krishna. Yes, I give my life to Krishna. How? I don't know that. The dhyaya is necessary to know how to do it. And in this purport, Krishna is called the grandfather. Because in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Pitaham asya jagataha, mata dhata pitamaha. Pitaham asya, I am the father of this material world. Mata, I am the mother. Dhata, I am the maintainer. And pitaham asya, pitamaha. Pitamaha means grandfather. Krishna is the father, the mother, the maintainer, and the grandfather. Father, because all material ingredients come from him. Mother, because he is the source of all living entities. And he nurtures us. Dhata, he maintains us. And Pitamaha, because for the secondary creation, Lord Brahma, who is the chief architect of the universe, comes from Lord Vishnu. Then there is this description of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, which we've been discussing in the past few weeks. These are all features of the Lord. And they all simultaneously exist, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But the one that can be interactive is Bhagavan, because that is his swarupa, his actual identity. Brahman and Paramatma are also part of his swarupa. By fact that he is Bhagavan, there is Brahman and Paramatma. They don't exist independent of him. They are his features of existence. When we approach Krishna, we understand the position of, the relevance of Brahman and Paramatma. But if you don't see Krishna as Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, we can't understand the relevance of Brahman and Paramatma. We get incomplete pictures of who God is. And a final point here. Prabhupada says that a pure devotee never asks for anything material from the Lord. Because the Lord already knows. He says Krishna already knows. So there is nothing to ask. In fact, it is embarrassing to come and ask, oh, I need this, I'm lacking that, can you help me with this? The demigods are saying it's embarrassing because you already know. So we are asked or we are encouraged to approach the Lord asking for or to fulfill our spiritual desires. Spiritual desires are desires of service. As far as material desires, it is better that Krishna not fulfill them. Because if Krishna starts fulfilling the material desires, will not be around. So we say to Krishna, I know what is in my heart, you also know what's in my heart, please don't fulfill it. If you have to fulfill something, then you fulfill the request, or somewhere, please put in my heart the desire to serve you. And as far as my own self is concerned, I'm confident that you will anyway take care of me. Why? I don't have that realization, but Srila Prabhupada said that you will take care of me. I've heard from my spiritual master, I've heard from the devotees in the Bhagavatam that you will always take care of me. So that I'm assured of. Please make that confidence manifest. And if anything, fulfill my desires, spiritual desires to serve you. Asking for anything else is a little embarrassing, as it said here. To come to Krishna, it's like we talked about karma yoga. Object is clear, they come to Vishnu, but the objective is not clear. Why they come to Vishnu? When Krishna says, I'm here to give myself to you, and we say, can you please make sure that I don't fall short in my payments for the house? Well, that's a little silly. This is the difference between Duryodhana and Arjuna. I will end with this last time. Duryodhana and Arjuna both went to Krishna just before the Mahabharata war. And Krishna was taking an afternoon, what's called siesta, transcendental siesta. So Duryodhana went, sat on the bed by Krishna's head. And Arjuna went and sat by Krishna's feet. Duryodhana had come first. Duryodhana had come because he was insecure. He wanted to ask Krishna something. Just previous to this, Krishna had declared that there is going to be a war because the Kauravas don't want to give the kingdom that is due to the Pandavas back to the Pandavas. They have denied their kingdom. Not only have they denied the kingdom, they have denied even 5 villages that I asked for. In fact, Duryodhana challenged, I will not even give land that fits under the tip of a needle. Get out. If Yudhishthira Maharaj wants the kingdom, he can fight and get it back. Very arrogant. No concept of sharing, nothing, living together, symbiotic, nothing. He said, get out. So Krishna said, then there will be war because they're Kshatriyas. They need space. They need some kingdom. So let there be war, no problem. So Krishna said, I will not fight this war. I will be neutral. I will not pick a weapon. I will not fight. And all my armies are available to whoever is the bidder. They can take. So Duryodhana came to bid for Krishna's armies. And Arjuna also had come. So Duryodhana was a little insecure. What will Arjuna ask for? If he asks for Krishna's armies, then I lose out because he will have more and I will have less. This is a materialistic calculation. More is better, like that. So when Krishna opened his eyes, then both of them were there. And Duryodhana said, I should ask first because I came first. And Krishna said, Arjuna should ask first because when I opened my eyes, I saw Arjuna first, not you. Because when I'm lying down, open my eyes, I see my feet first. So Duryodhana became a little nervous. And Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, I have only one request. Can you be on my side? And Duryodhana laughed. Ha! Very good. What a foolish request. Krishna is not going to fight, is not going to pick up any weapon. What a foolish request. In fact, I'm glad you said so, because Krishna, can I have all your armies, please? Yeah, Krishna, sure. And Krishna said to Arjuna, you know I'm not going to fight this one. No, I don't need you to fight. I don't need you to do anything. I just want you to be on my side. That is all that I need, nothing else. So when the armies came for a face-off, Duryodhana had 11 Akshauhinis of armies. And the Pandava side was only 7 Akshauhinis. So they were 1.5 times stronger in numbers. And that was Duryodhana's confidence. And Arjuna's confidence is, I have Madhava with me. So sometimes we are impelled by rational thinking. Our rationality tells us more is better. If I have these material things and many of them, I will feel very safe. But Krishna consciousness is not about such rationality. Krishna consciousness is about spirituality. If I have Krishna on my side, or if I am at Krishna's lotus feet, nothing else can affect me. That confidence we try to develop through our sadhana bhakti. Because that's not rational. Most people say, what? What is this? And you see, in the life of all the great sages, they gave up things that were no meaning, which otherwise had a lot of meaning for others. For them, they had no meaning because they only wanted Krishna. Just yesterday, I heard Prabhupada speak about Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was approached by Raja Man Singh. Raja Man Singh was a very, very opulent king. He came to Rupa Goswami and said, I have a lot of wealth. I'd like to give you something. And Rupa Goswami chuckled. Like, well, what will I do with your money? And Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami was the prime minister of Nawab. Half of India was something that the Nawab was already owning. And Rupa Goswami was so rich that when he was parting with all his wealth, he had filled up 2 large boats with full of gold coins. So Rupa Goswami, but he was staying in Vrindavan, wearing kopin and nothing else. And he said, what do I do with your money? I have no use. If you want to do something, you develop a nice temple for Govindaji. And he commissioned Raja Man Singh to build that structure for Lord Govindaji. So rationally, money was not an important thing for them. Rationally, one thinks that money is very significant. Money will come and go, mostly goes. So-called possessions, they also go. So what remains, or what always stays, is Krishna consciousness. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Now, just because Krishna says svalpam api asya, svalpa means very little. We are not meant to engage in only very little devotional service. We are meant to engage in significant devotional service. Svalpam api, even a little bit, has great benefit. So that the message is to engage in full devotional service, to get the maximum benefit. So, the Radhashtami, so just in that, I guess, mood. Any comments, questions? Jitendra Prabhu, you have something? No, it's working, it's just not turned on. Go ahead, ask. The new Back to Godhead. As a topic on Radharani. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there are 10 pages on Srimati Radharani. Okay. Anything else?
Krishna is Atmaram. So is he Atmaram for the residents of Raj, Radharani?
Why in Braja it doesn't, something would be different? No, he is always Atmaram. So the residents of Braja are part of his Atma. They're who they are. They're all his internal expansions.
In that, is Krishna Atmaram for the people in Braj?
What is, so let me say it again. What is your, what are you thinking behind, is Krishna Atmarama for the devotees of Braja? What is the, give a little purport on, what does that mean? Meaning, does Krishna doesn't need anything from the devotees of Braja? That's what you're asking? No, let him say. I'm trying to dig it out of him.
The meaning is that sometimes Krishna is so neutral that even the people of Raja are expecting something from him. He doesn't show anything. At some point we see that Krishna is so much attached to the love of Vrindavan people that he cannot stay without them. So at one point we are saying that Krishna is Atmaram, and second time we are seeing that Krishna is not at all Atmaram. He is dependent on those people.
Atmarama doesn't mean neutral or inanimate or just like by himself. That's not the meaning of Atmarama. Atmarama means always satisfied. Always satisfied doesn't mean that he doesn't like loving exchanges. In fact, that's the whole verse. Atmaramascha munaya nirgranthi api upukkame. That those persons who are beyond the injunctions of the Vedas that tell us what to do, what not to do, they are beyond that. Atmarama means they are on a spiritual platform. And even they have great taste in devotional activities. So Atmarama, that's why I use the phrase Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was saying, that he is Atmarama, we are Samosa Rama. Rama means pleasure. So those who are not Atmarama, they are looking for pleasure in material goods and activities. Atmarama means though those who take pleasure on the activities on the platform of the soul. It doesn't mean that they don't have activities. Their activities are on the platform of the soul. Like a Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, etc. Their satisfaction comes from activities on the platform of the soul. Okay, Krishna is also Atmarama. He is also. But that is part of Atmarama. Atmarama doesn't mean I don't need anyone. No one needs to come to me. I can be in my room. They can be in their rooms. We're all happy, satisfied. This is not Atmarama. Our conception of Atmarama may need a little adjustment. Atmarama means one who takes pleasure on the activities on the platform of soul or spiritual platform. So on spiritual platform, these are all pleasing. These are all pleasurable. Running after the gopis, being chastised by the gopis, taunted, running with his friends, stealing butter, etc. Those are all Atmarama activities. They look material, but they're not. Atmarama doesn't mean nothing, no activity, this neutral Brahman type, not like that. Atmarama means on the platform of the soul, or spiritual platform, let's put it that way. So Krishna's, all his activities are spiritual in nature. All his activities, whatever the activity may be, stealing, teasing, breaking the pots of the gopis, whatever it is, they're all spiritual activities. Okay. Pratipa,
thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. think your emphasis on service is kind of very inspiring to me, because while I was chanting the japa this morning, the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually requesting Srimati Radharani, or the internal potency of the Lord, to engage us in the service. So the service aspect is so significant as part of our devotional service, that right from the bead bag, what we say, everything begins from the bead bag. The emphasis of service is greatly given, greatly emphasized, the service. So personally, I would like to thank you for emphasizing, especially when you are talking about manasa vacha, diya vacha, artha diya vacha. So similarly, like the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra itself is requesting Srimati Radharani to engage in this service.
Okay. It's a plea. Service along with service attitude, both go along together. All right, thank you very much. It's fasting till noon, technically 1 o'clock, fasting. And then the evening program and feast begins at 5 p.m. with Arati, Abhishek, class, and then Mahaprasadam at 5 p.m. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radhashtami Mahamahotsav ki jai, Shri Shri Kishore Kishori ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Gaur Nithai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.